Well, get your Bibles out and go to the book of James. James 1. I'm not through. I'm going to let us have it again tonight. Out of the book of James. Before I forget this, let me tell y'all, okay, men's fellowship tomorrow night. Jim, do we need anything as far as other than desserts? We got fish. We got everything to go along with fish and all that's taken care of. All right. Then, so come here 6 o'clock. Now, listen, guys, 6 o'clock. We're going to eat. We're going to take about an hour to eat, fellowship here at the church. And then we're running down the road just a few miles to the Jones's Caliche Pit. And we're going to have a pistol shoot. 22 pistols. You can bring your own. I have plenty to go around if we don't. You don't have one, don't worry. Don't worry if you have shells. Come, fellowship. You don't have to shoot if you don't want to shoot. But we're going to have a pistol shoot. You can either have a revolver or an automatic. We'll make it work out either way. You're going to be shooting at 25 yards. And it's something that probably that you may have heard of it, but you've never maybe done it. We're going to have a bowling pin shoot. And so if you've never done it, it'll be something brand new for you. And Pastor will teach you something. And we'll have some fun. Probably not too many churches in life you can go to that they're going to have a bowling pin shoot. But this would be one of them. Cannot bring anything larger than a 22. Not going to let you cheat. Everybody's going to be equal all the way across the board. No. 22 pistol. You can if you want. If it would help you better, come do that. If you know somebody, good opportunity to bring somebody that would never, ever come to church. And I don't care if they can't make it to the if they can't make it into the fellowship hall to eat, but tell them to show up down there at the Caliche Pit at 7 o'clock, that's fine because I'll get them down there. And I'll tell y'all what I want to do. I can't have free beer and barbecue. Although I might fill up the church over there. I can't do that. I'm not going there. But we can do things that are kind of off the wall because I really want to see people come. And I want to. It takes some time. Just like we started doing the Cowboy Sunday, took some time to get things going, and now there's people come just for that service. And these men's fellowships, I want to keep at it. I want to plug at it. I want to plug at it. I want to plug at it. And then people will start to say, well, my gosh, I can't believe the church is having a pistol shoot over there. And we can go and we can do it. And it's you know, no pressure, but it's about winning souls, folks. It's all it's about. It's winning souls. I want to see people come in that would never come in for anything else and do something and meet Jesus. Amen? So that's what it's all about. So go invite somebody. Tell them you've never heard anything like this before. Get them up here and get them going. Amen? Okay. Book of James, chapter 1. We talked about this last week. We talked about how you can have joy through trials because nobody wants to have joy through trials. Nobody wants trials. We would have joy if we had no trials, but how do you have joy going through trials? Now, the problem about trials is that it doesn't have anything to do with anything other than we live in a fallen world and you're going to go through problems. You're going to have a flat tire. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to run across ugly people. It's going to happen. That's just life. We live in this fallen world. You can't get away from it. There's no place you can pray to get holy enough that you're going to never have a trouble or a trial to walk through. But the thing is we've got to learn how to walk through trials in this world and still have joy. Because James, the first pastor, of the church, and you know, he saw this. I believe he looked over his congregation, he saw this, and he tried to. He says more in chapter 1 and chapter 2 than a lot of the other Bibles say. I mean, other writers say in their whole books, because he's cramming it in there. He's trying to tell people how to live and stay happy and stay sane. How would y'all like to just stay happy and stay sane? Well, the point was last week is you're never going to have joy going through trials unless you come to the understanding and keep the attitude is that this world is not yours. This is not your home. This is not your final place. This is not your final destination is this earth. That you're headed to heaven. You're headed to the other side. You're not living for what this world has to offer. You're living for what the world to come has to offer. And the only way you're going to have joy through anything is to know that one day it's going to cease and stop, and you're going to be on the other side rejoicing and praising God for, you know, thousands and forever. Not thousands of years, but we may praise, one service may last 1,000 years. Well, we won't know it. We don't know how it's going to happen. If you're living in forever, how long would 1,000 years be? Pretty short. Right? And so the only way you're going to really walk through that is you're going to have to learn to stand that, man, this you're not living for this earth. You're not living to what this thing can. Listen, I want to tell you something. Don't make and build your inheritance, everything for this earth, because there's not you do not know what's going to happen. But you do know what's going to happen on the other side, because that's where we live and that's where we're headed and that's where we're going to spend our eternity. Amen. So I want to go on down. If you weren't here, you can get the tape on that. It's on the website. You can listen to it. But anyway. Let's go on. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So let me just stop right there. That word testing jumped out to me. I went and looked it up, and you know what it means? Testing. But then I got to thinking about testing. Why do you take a test? Yeah, to see what you know or what you've learned, right? You give students tests in school to see if they've learned the information that you've taught them, right? That's what tests are all about. Not punishment. I thought it was when I was in school, that it was punishment, that there was no need to do those things. They were just to try to, you know, harass me and irritate me. Cause me to cheat. Am I right? But tests are to find out what you know. And so the testing of your faith is to know, well, where is your faith? The Bible says that in the book of Proverbs, it says that in the if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith was small. So then if the adverse thing came upon you, or let's say the trial that came upon you, blew you back and caused you to lose your position in life, then that meant that your faith in that case, when you took the test, you didn't know the information. The good thing is that if you know the information, you don't have to sweat the test. Isn't that right? If you know the information, you don't have to sweat the test. So then if your faith gets tested and you finally learn the principles of God, then you still can come to a place in life that there'll be a test, but it's okay because you're learning and growing as you're walking out your life and your walk with Jesus. You're learning and growing in every situation, everything that's going on. Right? So then when the test comes, you no sweat. I got it down. Listen, there's a few things you have to learn. Okay? You have to learn sowing and reaping. Husbands and wives, if you have not got it figured out, that if you're ugly to your wife, you're going to get ugly. You're so ugly, you're going to get ugly. If you have not got the lesson down, the sowing and reaping. Now listen to me. You say, yeah, but Pastor, that doesn't work because I was nice to her the other day and she was mean back to me. Well, she hasn't learned the lesson, but if you keep being nice, sowing has to produce or nice has to produce nice. You cannot keep sowing nice and keep reaping ugly.
Yeah, but it's hard. I don't want to. She's so ugly.
It's like I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, don't you understand that all men feel like that at some moment the wife is going to explode, go into a raving fit, and it's going to be our fault for something that we've done? And she said, why would you think that? I said, because we've probably done something sometime. And she said, well, that's ridiculous. And I said, oh, no. It's the way we all think. All men think that at any moment. You just don't know. Could happen. For no reason. Just women just fall off the handle. We're in trouble. That's just the way it is. We all think that. Now, guys, don't raise your hand. Probably y'all shouldn't be agreeing with me at all, but. But if you sow, you've got to learn sowing and reaping. Okay? You've got to learn that. You've got to learn. Listen, you've got to learn the principle. The test you've got to learn also is that money cannot rule you. Listen to me. Money cannot rule you. Because if money rules you, then you can be bought. And if you can be bought, you will be tested in that area and you'll sell out. Okay? You've got to learn the lesson of that. What you speak out of your mouth creates your world. It's not easy, but you got to learn it. And the thing about it is you're got to be ever learning, because you can't just come to a place that you got it all and you've learned it, and then if you don't keep practicing it, you become weak in that area again, and then you have to go back. The good news is, once you've already gone down the path and you've learned it, and you may back up, it's easier to get back to where you were, but that's kind of a hard life to be living up, back, up, back, up, back. Right? Okay, I want to go on because that's not all my message, but there's others, but you got to learn things like that. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect, that word perfect doesn't mean like, oh, look at me, I never made a mistake. No, it means mature. Okay? Now, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about asking God for wisdom. Y'all with me? But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like the waves of the sea tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, if he is a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Okay, so we're talking about getting wisdom. We're talking about asking God for wisdom. What should I do? Lord, I don't know what to do. What should I do? Lord, I need godly wisdom in this situation. Give me godly wisdom in a situation. Okay, we're not talking about your daily bread. Let's really make a point here. We're not talking about asking God for your daily bread. If you're double-minded in anything, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord, but I don't want you to focus on that right now. I want you to look at wisdom. Lord, how do I handle my finances? God, I need your wisdom right now. I don't know what to do, so I just better do this. Unstable ways tossed to the sea. When you don't have to say yes or no or shake your head or anything like this, but when you pray and you talk to God and you ask him for wisdom, do you really expect an answer? When I get up and I pray, because, you know, my life is a little different, because I know I have to preach Wednesday and I have to preach Sunday, and so I have a general kind of routine I go through. Thursday, I'm just going to do my daily reading, my stuff like that. I'm going to be thinking, but by Friday, I'm going to start to be thinking and asking the Lord what he wants me to preach on Sunday and what's going to go on. And by Saturday, Friday, I'm talking. Saturday, I'm pressing a little bit more. Saturday night, I'm pressing some more. And, you know, Sunday morning, I'm up and I'm trying to make sure that what I'm hearing is right. But I'm expecting God to speak to me in all ways. I'm expecting to hear something. I'm expecting to be inspired. I'm expecting to see something in the Word. I'm expecting to see something on television. I'm expecting somebody to call me. I'm expecting somebody to say something to me. I'm expecting to hear something over the radio. I'm expecting that whatever ways that there are to receive a word from God, I'm expecting to hear something. I'm looking. People are calling me up, and the moment somebody's talking to me, I'm saying, why is this person talking to me? Is God using them for something? Because how many of y'all, have you ever had a good day? Let's just put this in reverse. Have you ever had you wake up and you feel pretty good, man, you're not hurting, and man, the knee doesn't hurt quite as bad, and the elbow, and you're waking up and say, oh, Lord of God, feeling pretty good, this morning feeling pretty good, and everything's going good, and you had a good breakfast, and everything's looking good, and then you go to town, and then some yahoo comes up and says something to you that just steals your faith right out from under your, whatever. Y'all ever been there? That was the voice of the devil. All right? That was the voice of the devil. Not maybe Beelzebub himself, but that person just got used as one of the devil's agents to steal your faith this morning and to stop you from going on. He became the voice of the devil. Don't need to be too, pointing the fingers at anybody, because you got to watch this, because sometimes we ourselves can be the voice of the devil if we don't watch what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Look at the person beside you and say, never you, never. I remember the worst I ever felt one time was there was a, I can't even recall exactly the situation, but I said something to a friend of mine. You know, like we were visiting about something or whatever, you know, and I said something in jest or whatever, and they just broke down with tears in their eyes and said, oh, you don't know what I was going to do. And I was like, oh my God, I was just the voice of the devil to this person. I said, man, forgive me, let's get this off of you. You're going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right in the name of Jesus. But I realized even I got manipulated into a situation, and I was the voice of the devil for that person. It could happen to anybody. But what I'm trying to say is, if you just pray and throw up a prayer and say, God, I need you to tell me, speak to me, tell me what to do. But then you're not listening, you're not looking, you're not being attentive to everything that goes on. To the bird that might fly into your windshield. To whatever might happen, good or bad, that you've got to be listening. Most marriages break up because they don't listen to each other. And that's what's got to take place in life. This is what the scripture is talking about. He says, listen, I'll give you godly wisdom, but when you ask for godly wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. But don't be like the waves tossing the sea back and forth and back and forth. Are you going to talk to me? God, or are you not going to? Oh, God. He's not going to speak to me. What do I do? Over here. He said, man, I want you to listen for me. And I've just learned that over the years in that one area, because I've got to get a message, I've got to hear God for that moment. And, you know, I've been preaching for over 20 years, and I have never walked to this pulpit without something to say. There has been times I felt like I got it as I walked through the door. There has been times that I've had series laid out that I could have preached for a year on a topic that God gave me so much revelation on. And there's been other times that it's been like, oh my gosh, are you with me, Lord? What am I going to say? And then, I mean, literally there's been times in church that I've been wrestling with what to preach because I'm not even sure I really heard God. And then somebody gave a word that morning and lined up with exactly what I needed to say. And I needed to hear it. I needed to hear it to give me confirmation. That's what I was supposed to do. And I didn't get it till after praise and worship. But God spoke and I heard because I was listening. You can't ask God for wisdom in whatever situation you're going through and then not ever listen to see what he's going to say. So whatever decision, you got to understand this tonight. Whatever decision you need to make in your life, God has an answer for you. Whatever decision you got to make, God has an answer. Now right there should be building your faith. There is an answer. There is an answer. You know, I was just telling y'all this the other day about how I was so concerned, on my Sunday morning preaching mainly about what's going on in America and the things that are taking place. And I was preaching along these lines, and I told you that we need a lightning bolt of the Holy Ghost to hit and strike me. And I kept on that thing. I was talking about it this last week about lightning bolt. I was talking to Ivan this week, and he says, man, the strangest things happen. He said, I've noticed it in the last 2 weeks that when I go to churches, people are just falling on their faces and repenting. And I said, really? He says, it's just like, he said it as my, says, just like there was just a sudden change. And I said, like a lightning bolt? Yeah, like a lightning bolt. And he said that what's getting it is that every person he talks to, it's because the parents haven't been living for Jesus and been living a compromised Christian life. And now the children are in trouble and they realize that they haven't raised the children right. And they're seeing it. It's jerking them back. He said he's just seeing more people get saved in churches in the last 2 weeks than he's ever seen in a long time. Amen. Okay. So, we got to hear from God. We got to hear that. Okay, the wisdom. Now, let's just go on down a little bit further. Matter of fact, if you will, let's jump down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, I'm kind of carrying this thought out that, you know, how are we going to have joy through trials? We're going to have joy knowing that we're not living for this world. We're going to have joy knowing that God has an answer for us. And then we're going to have a joy knowing that we have a reward. A lot of people don't believe that. Listen to me. I don't know how it works. The Bible doesn't give us great definition about this. I don't know how it works. But let me tell you, when you get to heaven, it's not all equal. God is not a communist. He's not a socialist. Not everyone enters into heaven and everything is the same for everybody. They're rewards. Of course, living in a cardboard box under the bridge crossing the river of life would still be pretty good. When the consequences is hell, right? I mean, that looking good. Maybe a fur-lined cardboard box under the bridge that crosses over the river of life. But it'd be pretty good, right? And I've had people get so mad at me over this scripture. And I said, well, that's not right, God. That would be unfair. God would be fair. Listen to me. You're not running a race against anybody but yourself. Ooh, hear me. Bruce, you can't run my race. God didn't call you to run my race. God didn't call me to run Skip's race. Skip wasn't called to run Frankie's race. No. You're only running one race. There's one person in the race, and it's you. There's only one on the track. But God wanted you to get out of the starting blocks and say, okay, ready, go. And ain't nobody running but you. You may be looking over at somebody else running that's on another track, thinking that you need to be running with them, but you're only running one race, your race, the race that's been set before you. And when you, if you'll just finish your race, you win. If you just finish your race, all the stands will jump up. This man, he is the champion. And they come out with a big torch and everything. And it's nobody was running but you. Heaven will make you feel like, man, you have, like you ran the decathlon and you won. You get a crown. Look what it says. They're going to receive the crown of life. Now, this is interesting. Because in the Bible, there's two words for crown. The word here is Stephanos. And it literally means it's the crown that's put around the athlete's head when he wins. It could be made out of, you know, ivy or grapevine. You know how you see like in the old, when they had the Greek, you know, runners and they ran or whatever and they put the little, you know, deal around them. That's what it means. It's Stephanos. It's a crown. It's a crown, but it's a crown won for a victory. The other word for crown in the Bible you find in the book of Revelations is the word diadem. You know the song? You sing the old church song, diadem? Crown with many crowns, right? That is a crown that's only for a king. This crown here is what you win, what you get for winning your race. Now, go to, if you would just slip back over to 1 Corinthians 9. Let me show you. I want to go a little more here. 1 Corinthians 9 talks about this same crown again. It says, verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they who do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, at least when I have preached to others, I myself should find myself disqualified. Now, the word that's funny here is the word that's in verse 25, it says, is temperate in all things. It means exercises self-control. So think about this. If he's exercising self-control and he says over in James, James says that anybody that's going to ask of God, believe, don't be double-minded. And that he's talking about you're going to have a test because your faith has got to get to endurance. What he's saying is that this race you're running is your race. It's only your race. No one else is in it. But he wants you to run it as if you're training to win, not taking life laxed. Not letting yourself down in all areas of your life and just maybe doing good. Oh, you're going to get gold star for church attendance. You were always at church, but you let your life down and you didn't discipline yourself and have self-control and really live like you should have in some other area of your life. Because nobody else is running but you, so it's pretty obvious what's going on. Right? And so the race you're running, there's a prize at the end of it. It's the crown of life that you're going to get because you stayed faithful. You served Jesus with all of your heart. You did the best that you could do to continue to discipline yourself and get yourself to the place you needed to be. And when trials and tribulations and turmoil came into your life, you kept the faith. You kept looking to Jesus. You kept believing in him. You kept trusting him. You kept asking him for wisdom. You kept walking with him. You didn't get mad. You didn't get irritated. You didn't throw down. You didn't pout on the side of the track and say, I ain't running no more. I know I've told you this 1,000 times, but it's something that's stuck in my head so much. High school track is horrible for a short, fat guy. Coach put us in the field house to lift weights all the time. Man, we didn't run, we didn't train, but it always happened that when the track meet would come, you know, the track meet would come, he'd go bring us all out of the field house and make us go, and then he'd enter us in all these events that we'd never done before because he was just hoping that just maybe just by some miraculous power, one of us might win and get a point for the team. But we had no idea. We didn't train, we didn't run, we didn't anything. All we did was just drink protein drinks and pump iron. That's all we did. So, and none of us prepared for this stuff, right? We were just beefing up for football the next year. So he'd take us out there and we'd just beg him, Coach, don't, no. And so I finally figured out right off the bat he was going to make us go, so I always begged him for the shortest races. You don't look like you're losing so bad if you run the 100-yard dash, you know? It's over with pretty quick. Nobody remembers that one. You don't want to get in like a mile. Well, this one kid got put in the mile. I had to run the 880. And that's another story in itself. The short of that story was, is me and the guy that got thrown into the thing were running and beating, we're trying to beat each other for dead last. Everybody else had finished, gone under the grandstands, and was already putting on their shoes for the next event, while me and this other guy were fighting it out for dead last. And it was so bad because it was one of those things that they cheered us on. Because they just knew these poor kids are so far behind that they should cheer them. And the stands were up cheering like we're winning. And it's me and him fighting it out for who was going to be dead last. This kid was a grade older than me. He was one of these kids that weighed like 85 pounds with a size 13 shoe. And as he ran, his foot just slapped the ground like, you know, two big old pieces of ham on the ground as he went. And I was running with all my heart, but my legs didn't go but about that far, you know. So I had three steps into his one, and man, he is beating me. And we're coming around the bend for the end. I was like, I can't be dead last. Oh, God, I can't be this dead last. And we're just fighting it out, just running and everything like this, like it's going to be the gold medal, you know, for dead last. And darn if he didn't beat me by, like, he leaned at the end. I mean, we're talking about we're leaning into this thing, you know. Ooh, you're last. It's terrible. But this other kid was worse. Or maybe he was smarter because he got stuck in the mile. And so, man, he was doing pretty good up to about the second lap. And by now, man, he's falling way behind. And so they start to pass him. So it's one of those deals where, you know, if you've ever run track, you understand these things where, you know, the crowd leaves you and you're all alone. And then the crowd catches you and you don't feel so bad. Although you're a lap behind, but you're running with a crowd, right? And so you're like, yeah, nobody knows that I'm a lap behind everybody else, right? And so you feel good. But then when they go to pulling away from you again, now things are beginning to hurt. And so that's what happened. The crowd began to pull away from him again. And so he thought that maybe they didn't recognize that he had one more lap. So they rang the bell. And he's coming in, and everybody's done their fourth lap, and he's only done three. And so when they come off, he just stops. Oh, yeah, and he just goes to trotting off. And one of the what do you call the guys? Not the umpires, the lane guys, the what? Lane judges runs up to him and says, no, you've got one more. He pulls one. He says, no, I don't. He just walked off. So unless you're going to do that to Jesus, he says, you got one more, and you're going to say, no, I don't. Just walk off, okay? There ain't nobody running in your race but you. Quit looking across at the other tracks going on at somebody else that's running and say, oh, look how good they're doing. Forget about how good they're doing. Just be disciplined and temperate in what you're doing. Amen? Now, see, it wasn't fair because then, you know, after this humiliation of last, then we finally had a weightlifting meet, and I got to win my division. See, but no. The 880, dead last. So the point is, you're good at some things, maybe not so good at others, but don't let the thing that's getting you down make you give up your race. Just keep finishing it. Keep staying with it. Keep going. It'll be okay. You'll win. You can't lose. Ain't nobody running but you. Amen?